We're again just continuing to read in the Gospel of Luke, these early chapters of Luke, these early stages of Jesus' ministry, in which, as perhaps if you've been over the last couple of weeks, you'll know he finds himself in controversy, particularly with the religious leaders, and that's where we find him again today. So it's Luke chapter 5 and verse 33. Let's listen together to God's word. They, and the they here, we're not exactly sure who the they are, but presumably the representative of the religious leaders around, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. They said to him, "John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking." Jesus answered, "Can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days they will fast." And he told them this parable. "No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he'll have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for he says the old is better." Amen. Thanks be to God for his word. Just before we turn, just for a moment, as I say, to think on Luke, all the questionnaires that were put in, I read them all. I read every comment, every suggestion. There was a suggestion at one point, sermons could be briefer. Well, let me assure you, they are today. I'm not going to preach a full sermon, but I didn't want just to let Luke go there without just sharing a few thoughts with you. It's never easy dealing with something or someone new or different, is it? We get used to the old, to our own way of doing things, and then something or someone comes along and disrupts that, and we feel a little uncomfortable, uneasy, maybe even threatened. And clearly, when you read Luke, that's exactly what was going on with Jesus. He's just not conforming. He's different, and people, and interestingly, significantly, particularly the religious leaders, pious people, are uneasy. Saw that last week when Jesus was eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners, the company he kept, and now this time, it's in relation to what were common religious practices, considered pious religious practices. We don't know, as I said at the beginning, who exactly is making that observation in verse 33, but they're clearly expressing genuine dis-ease, puzzlement, even bewilderment at the difference between what Jesus' disciples are doing and what everybody else is doing. John's disciples, they say, often fast and pray, so the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours, Jesus, they go on eating and drinking. Everyone else's disciples fast and pray. Why are yours so different? And what I love about Jesus is he's never threatened, he's never defensive when people make statements, come accusations. He just uses the occasion to make a positive point and to say something further about who he is and why he's come, what he brings. And he challenges his critics and he challenges us, and he makes plain to them and us that the problem that they see is really just about understanding God's timing, what's fitting, and what's happening in Jesus and his ministry. Think about the timing just for a moment. Anyone who's ever watched or listened to Jesus in the Gospels would know Jesus is not against fasting and praying. If you've been with us in these early chapters, you'll know throughout Luke how prayerful Jesus himself was. And not only that, the Old Testament commanded that on the Day of Atonement, fasting was to take place, and Jesus was a faithful Jew, he would have fasted. Not only that, if you look back in chapter 4 of Luke, you'll find Jesus fasting for 40 days in the wilderness. Not only that, if you turn over to Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, you'll find Jesus commending fasting. And indeed, in verse 35 of our passage, he speaks of a time when his disciples would fast. But his point was, that wasn't the time now. Why not? It wasn't appropriate. He says to them, can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? Now, however cryptic a question that may sound like to you and me, that wouldn't have been lost on anyone familiar with the Old Testament. If you were to go to Isaiah 54 and 5, 62 and 5, or Hosea 2 and 7, you would find references or allusions to God as the husband, the bridegroom of Israel. And in Psalm 45, you'd hear references to God's king as the true bridegroom. And Jesus is saying to them, don't you get it? Don't you get it? You fast when there's a sense of God's absence. You fast when God seems inactive and you're pleading for him to fulfill promises of mercy, of forgiveness, of restoration. But can't you see Jesus is saying, God is present. God is fulfilling his promises in me, in my ministry. In other words, the true king of Israel, the true bridegroom of Israel is here. Messiah is here in mercy. And so how can it be a time for mourning? No more than a wedding is a time for fasting. It's a time for celebrating. It's a time not for fasting, but for feasting. The tax collectors, like Levi, they get it as they receive mercy and joy. And he's pleading with these religious leaders, why don't you? And then he says to them, it's a matter of what's fitting. These two powerful little parables, everyone, Jesus says, everyone, Jesus knows, everyone loves new clothes. But he says, no one tears a patch off a new garment, sews it on an old one. If he does, he'll have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. In other words, you try and patch an old garment with a new garment, you ruin both. They don't fit. And no one, he says, pours new wine into old wineskins. Old wineskins are hard and brittle. And there's no room for expansion. And of course, new wine is still fermenting. So new wine in old wineskins, what's going to happen? It's going to burst out. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out. The wineskins will be ruined. Again, what's happened? You've lost the new wine. You've ruined the old wineskins. Everyone's a loser. Don't you see, Jesus? No, says Jesus. No, new wine, it has to be for new wineskins. And then there's this line right at the end there, just tagged on, that reminds us then and now just how threatening the new in Jesus can be and is, and how difficult sometimes to embrace him. No one, says Jesus, after drinking old wine, wants the new. For he says, the old is better. And I wonder if you can just see what the Pharisees, what these religious leaders are trying to do with Jesus here. What they're trying to do is a great temptation. It's a temptation for all of us. Do you remember the story of the little boy who asked his mom one day, Mummy, is God everywhere? And Mum said, yeah, God is everywhere. And so he said to his mum, is God in this room? And she said, yeah, God is in this room. And then he held up a bottle. And he said, Mummy, is God in this empty bottle? Yes, God is in this empty bottle. Got him. Got him. You see the temptation? We want to do with God. The Pharisees wanted to do with God. They wanted to do with the Son of God what that wee boy wanted to do with God. They wanted to catch him. They wanted to confine him. They wanted to control him. They wanted to contain him within their traditions, within their religious rituals, within their religious ideas. They wanted to conform him. And that's always a temptation for all of us. It is. And what Jesus is saying is, no, wait, no, 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 no. Don't you know who's here? Don't you know who you're dealing with? This is the Son of the infinite, wise, eternal, and true God we are talking about. This is the God who has come into this world in his Son to do a new thing. To do a thing that could not be contained within the traditions, the structures, the strictures of Pharisaism. It couldn't even be contained within the old wineskins of Judaism. No, it was a new thing. Could not be contained within the old. Jesus was sent to bring new power, new possibilities, new hope into the world. And Levi, the tax collector, he knew that. He had tasted that. And so had the leper, and so had the paralyzed man who had been forgiven his sins. They had experienced the joy, the freedom that he had brought. But the Pharisees said, no. Tragically, said no. We want to stick with the old. We feel safe with the old. You see the point? Don't try and contain and control Jesus. Don't you see who he is? This is your God. This is your King. This is your bridegroom. Don't try and pick and choose from his message. Don't you see what he's done for you, what he's alluding to in verse 35 there about his being taken away? He's talking about his cross there. He's going to pour out everything he has. He's going to pour out everything he is for your sins, for your salvation in the cross so that he can call and reform you. Don't try and contain him or control him. He wants you to become part of his new creation, part of a new humanity with a place in a new heaven one day and a new earth. He's holding out to whoever would listen to him new life, new joy, new hope. Don't try and contain him. You can't contain him. Listen, if the tomb could not contain him, then you and I are never going to. Don't try and contain him. It's got to be all or nothing with him. No, welcome him. Bow to him. Leave the old and follow him and find the new. Let's pray, shall we, together. Lord Jesus, there's no one who knew human beings like you. No one who could see as you saw. No one who could speak as you spoke. And no one who could offer what you offered. No one who gave as you gave, the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Oh, we pray that we would receive all that you have come to give, to receive and to live in the fullness of that joy and to experience that new thing which you did when you came, which you continue to do from your throne in heaven, and which you will one day bring to consummation when you return again. Hear us, help us through you to become part of all of that and to share that with others too. We ask in your name. Amen.